Now, Christ never did anything inconsistent with his character, never did anything contrary to his attributes or his holiness. Even when he was, what? Tempted by the devil. The devil himself confronted the Lord Jesus Christ and tempted him. Because Jesus was clothed in righteousness, he resisted the devil and the devil fled from him. Now, we don't always act like the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus stood strong against the blows of the enemy, the devil. But we don't always. Because why? Sometimes we keep the clothing that reminds us that our thinking, our thought processes, our actions, our attitudes are more in line with the pattern of the world. We put on the world's clothing. Our clothing doesn't match up with who we are in Christ Jesus. And Paul is saying that if you wear the armor of God, if you put on the armor of God, if you put on Jesus Christ, you will always be able to stand. Always be able to stand too. You will always be able to stand against the what? The schemes of the devil. His strategies. His wiles, I believe the King James says. His stakes. His bluffs. His craftiness. His trickiness. His deceit. His lies, because that's what the devil is, isn't he? He's a liar. He's been a liar ever since the beginning. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on Jesus Christ. Stand firm in the strength of his might, not your might. Paul goes on to describe a little bit the nature of the battle. Verse 12, let me read it to you again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is a wrestling match. It's intimate. Our battle, our spiritual war is close and personal. Our Christian walk, when done in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, becomes a wrestling match. It's a struggle. Notice how many times Paul uses, in verses 11 and 12, the word against. And one time in verse 11, against. And five times in verse 12. This is a battle against the evil one. And it's an ongoing, continual battle. There's nothing easy, there's nothing quick about this war. It's not a 7-day war. It's not a 12-year war. A war until the Lord Jesus delivers us from this body and takes us to heaven. It's an ongoing, continual, hand-to-hand spiritual wrestling match against the spiritual forces of the evil one, the devil. But lest we forget, lest the Ephesians forget, Paul reminds them of something. He says, our battle, our war, isn't with flesh and blood. You see that? It's not against flesh and blood. 2 Corinthians, Paul reiterates this theme, chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, bodies, we are not waging war according to the flesh or with fleshly weapons. Our enemy, in the context of Ephesians chapter 6, is the devil. Now, what has Paul been talking about directly preceding Ephesians chapter 6? You have to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. What's he saying? He says, in your spiritual war, your enemy isn't your husband, wife. Sometimes we think it is. I'm not a wife, but sometimes women think their enemy is their husband. If he's an unbelieving husband, even more so. If he's a husband that doesn't love me the way I think I should be loved, sometimes we think he's our enemy. The spiritual battle that you wage war against isn't your husband. It's the lies that the world and the demons feed you. The world belongs to the devil. And it feeds you on a constant basis the lies of the devil. Now, God, wise, God has commanded you to willingly place yourself for the glory of God and the good of your marriage under the authority of your husband. But what does the world say? Well, that's weak. That undermines your value as a person, lady. You need to stand up for yourself. You need to demand your rights. And over, all the time, our minds are filled with these thoughts that wage war against what God has commanded you as women in this world. That's the war. It's not your husband. He's not the enemy. It's the lies of the devil. It's the false gods. It's the idols that you as a woman, and I'll talk to you men, that you women put up that place themselves in the position of God. We know in the Bible that behind idols are just pieces of wood, metal, stone. The idol is nothing. But behind those idols are what? Demons. And the idols that we place in our lives, they're not wood, stone, and metal. But demons behind them as well. What are some of the idols that we worship? What are some of the things that we place in the position of God in our lives? Sometimes we place the idol of control. I want my husband to do what I want him to do. And when he doesn't, then I'm not submitting to him. It's the power or comfort or pleasure, whatever idol it is. These idols set themselves up in our hearts and our minds as false gods, promising to deliver to us what only God can deliver. And we end up worshiping these idols instead of worshiping God. Ask yourself this question. How many times do you begin your sentences? I'm talking to women still. With this phrase, all I want is, well, sometimes our wants are good wants, but when they become controlling wants, they become sinful. And when we end up worshiping our wants more than we worship God, and God has called you as women to submit. And these idols, these wants, these desires that put themselves in the place of God is a whole world system put in place by the devil and his demons to convince us that somehow our wants are legitimate. Husbands, remember, in the context, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your battle isn't with your wife. Doesn't matter what she does or how she treats you or how she behaves towards you or what she says or what she doesn't do. God has called you, husbands, in the Word of God, to love your wives sacrificially as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Warts and all. Your wife isn't your enemy. I'm tempted to ask you if you're sitting next to your wife to say, you know, honey, you're not my enemy, but I'm not going to. The battle, the war, is in your spirit. As you combat the lies of the world that belong to the devil, your idols of thinking, you know what, I deserve better than this. I work hard. She's ungrateful. I deserve some peace and quiet. I deserve to have my needs met. I deserve some physical intimacy. So much so that we start believing that those needs are more important than me loving my wife as Christ loves the church. The enemy are the lies behind your wants and desires that Satan has put into place in the world system. You are in a world, but it shouldn't be your spouse. It's against the evil one and his minions as they try to destroy you, cause you to fail, cause your faith to waver, cause you to abandon God. Those idols, whatever they are, whatever false arguments they are, whatever lofty opinions the Bible says, these idols have been put in place by the evil one, and he puts them into play in the world system in which we live. These idols, these demons, these false gods raise themselves up against the one true God, and they try to destroy or undermine your worship of God and God alone. Therefore, hence, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles, the schemes, the lies of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I read you verse 3. Let me read you verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. My kids are in junior church, the Schaefer family, and all those seven kids that sit back there, and the other family, I can't remember. What's Dave's last name? They're three children. They're not here today, but if they were, I would say, your parents aren't your enemies. They're not. And parents, your kids aren't your enemies. And some of our kids are grown, and they're not living for the Lord, and sometimes they annoy us. Let's be honest. But they're not your enemies. What? Your enemy isn't your employees, all in the context of what Paul has been talking about. Employees, your enemy isn't your boss. Church members, your enemy isn't the person sitting next to you in the seat. He's not. And churches divide because they can't get along with each other, and they make other enemies, other church members, and we're falling into the hand of the devil. Our battle, our struggle, our wrestling match is against flesh and blood, Paul says. But isn't that usually where we devote most of our attention and most of our energy, most of our ammunition is spent on battling flesh and blood, whether it be our children, our spouses, our bosses, our employees. That's where we spend most of our energy, battling, doing war. And you think, don't do your war there. Put on the old armor of God. Your enemy is the devil. Sometimes we think our health is our enemy. Oh, if I just had better health, you know. I just want to feel good. Notice, I just want to feel good. And that becomes so important to you that it ends up becoming an idol. And you forget that God is using your poor health for a purpose, conforming you to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's our finances. We think our finances are our enemy. You know, if God would just give me some relief financially, then I'd be happy. That's what we really want. We want to be happy. We want pleasure. We want the comforts of this world. And we become discouraged. We become fearful. We become anxious. We begin to worry. We get angry. And all of these are a result of the idols put up in this world system by the devil, in a world that is controlled by the evil one. Notice what Paul doesn't say. And I'm going to go here because some believers go here at this point. Paul does not say there's a demon of discouragement. There's a demon of doubt. There's a demon of fear. There's a demon of anxiety. These are demons of worry. And then all you need to do as a Christian is identify the demon and cast him out. You ever hear that? They're called deliverance ministries. Now, that would be the easy way, wouldn't it? Yeah. There's a demon causing my anxiety and my worship. I'm going to cast him out and be gone with him forever. But that's not what Paul says, does he? He says what? The solution is for you to put on the whole armor of God. Paul commands us to put on the whole armor of God, not to cast out the demons. Put on the clothes that Jesus Christ himself uses. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a war. That is a battle. It's a constant, everyday battle of repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. I've talked about that before. It's a constant battle. The real battle is against the schemes, the strategies, and the lies of the devil. Ultimately, it doesn't boil down to be a power struggle because God has already defeated the enemy. Ultimately, what it boils down to is a struggle for the truth. And that's what Paul says. The belt of truth. That's the first thing that he asks us to put on, the belt of truth. And we'll get to that in 2 weeks, okay? So will you bow your head with me? Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, your word. You've reminded us, Lord, of the battle that wages on in our soul against the lies and the vain imaginations and the lofty opinions of the world system that is controlled by the devil. Lord, we fill our mind with this world system 24/7. Lord, you have commanded us this morning to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word that has become flesh, Lord. And so fill our minds, not only this hour that we're together with your Word, but constantly during the Word, the week. Fill us with your Word. Lord, help us to buckle down and read your Word, to pray, to be with our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, standing firm in the midst of the battle, Lord, requires effort on our part. And it requires repentance also and faith when we fall in line with the thinking of the world more than we do with the thinking of Christ. Forgive us, dear Lord. Encourage us this morning, Lord, with these truths. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.